A new state of mind, new state of being. Constantly striving to understand what you're seeing. Finding the courage to stop fleeing.
Live from Production Studio A, it's time right about that time for Podzilla 1985 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. Cody Sandusky here. It is July 30th, 2016. Glad to have you along for the ride. It is the dog days of summer, which means baseball news is heating up. Trade deadline is about 48 hours away or so at time of this recording at 10:25 a.m. on July 30th for Major League Baseball. Not going to get into a lot of news of that. Of course, we will talk about maybe the big new moves that happened, after the trade deadline on next week's show. The only big one happening so far was the Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs trade. We'll see how that pans out. He's been throwing a lot of 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, which the Cubs did not have any this season before he showed up. So, positive, I suppose. They're making their push. Again, a team that hasn't made the World Series since, won the World Series since 1908. So they have an opportunity to do so now. They're wanting to capitalize, trading away some prospects, trying to make that happen. So understandably so, we have a few other moves that have occurred. Eduardo Nunez moved from the Minnesota Twins to the San Francisco Giants. A bit of an unexpected trade, but he'll probably play with Brandon Belt on the left side of that infield. And that's about it, though, so far. Maybe a few other minor things, but we'll get into trade deadline moves if anything big happens next week. Other than that, though, it's a bit of a slow time in terms of news. NFL training camps are about to begin or have already begun. College football is 5 weeks away from the first full Saturday of action, so that is very exciting. We've got some news involving all of those things here coming through on this episode of PZ85 Sports. You take a look at some of the news that has come out the last few days. Again, we kind of take a different approach on PZ85 Sports sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes we like to do maybe the stories underneath the primary big deals of the day in terms of numbers and statistics. We like to talk about the social issues or the things that may be happening behind the scenes that are interesting to talk about. And today has a lot of those things. Jarryd Hayne, the former rugby player who came to the United States to play for the San Francisco 49ers, did retire to allegedly try out for an Olympic rugby team. He did not make that team, but he did come out this week and say that he would have stayed longer in the NFL had there been a minor league system for him to play in. He didn't feel he was getting enough reps in the NFL trying to learn at the end of games or during practices, and he thought if he had an opportunity in a minor league system to take some full real-time reps, he could improve and maybe stick around longer. Of course, the NFL used to have NFL Europe. There's the Arena Football League, the Canadian Football League, although with the rules being different and the offenses being different, obviously it doesn't translate very well. Oh, yeah, college football, that free training ground. Yeah, the NFL likes that because, you know, it's free. They don't have to pay for it. They have zero liability for it. We'll go into it as we go along. Excuse me for this week. I apologize. I'm battling sinus headache thing, Throat is being gunky. Yay for weather changes in Southeast Missouri. So bear with me. I apologize for the maybe sometimes raspy quality of my voice this week. Going along with that NFL discussion about maybe a potential minor league future or what that would look like for the NFL, Jim McMahon, of course, the boisterous, sometimes outlandish former NFL quarterback, primarily known for the 1985 Super Bowl champion Bears, talked about the NFL being, quote, in cahoots with Big Pharma and having a problem with marijuana use and would rather push prescription drugs down people's throats. Does he have a point? Probably. Coming from Jim McMahon, does it carry a lot of weight? Maybe not so much, but we'll get into that. We can also discuss as we wrap up the show Big 12 expansion. We've talked about it in times past in terms of like the history of the college football landscape, how it's shifted with the SEC taking on a couple teams, a Pac-12 expanding, Big Ten expanding. The Big 12 is looking to expand as well, but the teams aren't their typical Midwestern teams that they're used to having in their system. Of course, West Virginia doesn't necessarily fit that mold either, but we'll discuss what it looks like if the Big 12 decides to expand east. Finally, we'll talk about some rule changes that you may like to see in professional sports. I found myself watching an Arena Football League game this week because, yes, I do enjoy sports that much. And there was a unique way they approached their review process for the viewers at home via ESPN3 or whatever broadcast they may be using during their season. We're going to get into that and a few more things as we go along on this episode of PZ85 Sports. Do want to give a quick shout out to acknowledge that, first of all, yes, UFC 201 is tonight. Yes, I do believe Robbie Lawler will break this retention curse that has happened recently in the UFC. And no, I hope no one else gets popped for steroids or performance-enhancing drugs. It's been happening way too much. And if you didn't remember UFC 201 was tonight, I unfortunately blame that on part Robbie Lawler just not grabbing a lot of attention during his title reign. And two, everyone getting popped for drugs. All the big names are starting to dissipate due to drug suspensions or being defeated or beefs with the company if you're Conor McGregor. So hopefully things like this Robbie Lawler fight, like the strawweight division coming to the women's side. Hopefully that's the face of the new UFC, as an article on Bleacher Report stated. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. Build on some of these other divisions, but it's not looking good in terms of attention being on this night's affairs. So good luck to those fighting UFC 201. Also want to give a shout out to the Gus Macker 3-on-3 tournament. I was fortunate enough to participate in calling some play-by-play for their grudge matches at our local building last night, one of our local facilities, the AC Bronze Arena. Gus Macker 3-on-3 tournament is a tournament started by Scott McNeil, where it goes to different communities. It's a fundraiser event of sorts for the Boys and Girls Club of America in each of those places in our area, the Cape Girardeau location for the Boys and Girls Club. And because of that, there were grudge matches last night, maybe drum up some fun attention between different teams in the community. There were a couple Special Olympics teams. There was one of the local police departments versus one of the local fire departments, one of the local high schools versus SEMO's administration, our local university. A lot of fun. I had a great time spending with Scott McNeil doing the play-by-play. He left a little bit early to head to Peoria, where they're having an event today. I was able to do some play-by-play after that. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. It was very enjoyable. So shout out to the Gus Macker 3-on-3 tournament for that. Without further ado, let's go into the discussion, and we're going to start with that minor league concept for the NFL. To give you some backstory, again, as I alluded to at the top of the show, Jarryd Hayne, he's 28 years old. He's a former rugby player from New Zealand. He did retire from the NFL earlier this year, who said he was leaving because he was going to try out for an Olympic rugby team. Came out to a New Zealand newspaper this week and said he would return to the NFL if the league had a minor league system. He said he left the league because he couldn't get on the field enough to improve as a player. And quote, "I need to be getting game time, and you just can't get that over there because of the way it works. The offense is only on for a certain amount of time, and there's five other running backs. There was a second division team where I could get those mental reps of being on the field, 100% I'd go back to the NFL." And the story from ESPN continues on to say that he announced when he did retire that he was going to try to make it with the Fiji Rugby Sevens to make this year's Olympics. He wasn't selected for that squad heading to the games. Of course, there was news aplenty discussing this from different outlets, including Deadspin, who really presented some of the primary reasons why a minor league system will probably never exist again for the NFL. And here's the quote, quote, "There's the CFL and Arena League and European leagues of varying qualities. But for a borderline NFL talent like Hayne, there would be nothing quite like a franchise-affiliated minor league team to get snaps and learn a playbook and remain within an organization's purview. Once you wash out of the NFL, it's very rare that you find your way back. Hayne's is a unique case, but I don't think you'd find much debate that the NFL would benefit from a true minor league. Even for the best college prospects, it takes a couple years to get up to speed in the pros. And for those not elite enough to start, practice reps alone aren't the ideal way to improve. We've written before that young quarterbacks would benefit from a few years on the farm somewhere. A second division would be even better," end quote. Of course, that coming from the Deadspin article from Barry Pachesky. Of course, Deadspin, a lot of fun to read for things like this to get an insider view or maybe a different perspective. And I tend to agree with it. Does there need to be a minor league system, in lack of better terms, for the NFL? Yes, there probably should be. Will there ever be again? Probably not. Kids, if you're listening and you were born in 2000 or beyond, first of all, thank you for listening. I hope you're really enjoying it. Second of all, around the time you were born, there was a league. It had started around 1995-96 when I was a kid, called NFL Europe, or NFL Europa in later years. It was a series of teams playing American football in Europe, loosely affiliated or kind of affiliated, not really with teams like you would think a minor league system like baseball or hockey, but just overall affiliated with the NFL. Again, the NFL Europe or NFL Europa, it was branded by the NFL and had officials, had all the rules of the NFL. Even experimented a little bit with different rules, maybe potential rule changes for the NFL proper. But it was a development system that allowed players like Kurt Warner to come through. You had players that maybe didn't crack out of the practice squad or didn't have an opportunity to get reps during the regular season, they moved over to NFL Europe. You know what else moved over to NFL Europe with those players? Coaches and trainers and announcers, in my case, and officials and referees. There was truly a farm development system for all of these parts of the game. Parts of the game that are all very necessary, very vital, and all parts of the game that you don't quite get the experience with coming from different leagues or different styles of play. I like the Canadian Football League a lot. I've been watching some of the games this season. I like the Arena Football League, as I alluded to a little bit ago. I watched part of a game earlier this week. I like some Okay, let's be honest. Let's say some. I like college football. I like most of it. I like football in general. Again, I've gone into in times past my conscientious tear, my conscientious battle about whether or not I should like football, but I do thoroughly enjoy the sport of football. If I focus on it just being a sport and play, not necessarily the ramifications outside of it or the actions of people outside of it. I digress. All those different leagues, those different organizations, the NCAA, Arena Football, Canadian Football League, they all play different variants of the game. Heck, the Arena Football League field is 50 yards. The goalposts are much narrower. They use nets on both sides of the goalpost to keep a ball alive if a field goal is missed or if a kickoff goes all the way, which, of course, in 50 yards, that's pretty guaranteed to happen in a dome setting. It's recoverable by the receiving team and able to be run or returned, excuse me. The CFL has a different dimension field. They have the rouge or the single for a point, a single point, like not like a PAT. It's not taken after a play. They have one less down. They have three downs. College football, the NCAA as it stands, the closest emulation to what the NFL is. And even then, there are some rule differences, like what defines a catch, how many feet you have to have in bounds to be called in possession of a reception. It's close, but it's no cigar. And even then, it's a limited development ground. Now, I know what a lot of people are thinking and what I think. Yeah, the NCAA lives to develop athletes and to ship them off and to make money while they're there. Yeah, they do. That's fine. While some coaches may focus on telling their players, hey, you can come here and you will play in the NFL, that's not their goal. Their goal is to get while the getting is good and then the player moves on. It doesn't affect them in any way. Player gets hurt and can't play in the NFL, that's fine. Player wasn't properly trained in how to compete in an NFL offense? Forget it. Look at Bryce Petty. Bryce Petty, quarterback for Baylor. Spread offense, which we've not seen adopted by the NFL, and we probably never will because I don't know if it's quite feasible. Closest thing we've seen is New Orleans Saints and a little bit of the New England Patriots a few times. But the spread as it exists in college football does not exist in the NFL. Bryce Petty, gunslinging quarterback, maybe a little overrated coming in the draft, but even then still a great quarterback for Baylor. That did not translate to the NFL game. It still hasn't. He's a backup that may not even be a backup on that New York Jets team. They re-signed Ryan Fitzpatrick this week. They still have Geno Smith for one more year, maybe two more years. Try to remember his contract. And they have Christian Hackenberg they just drafted this year. Bryce Petty may be the odd man out, despite the Jets saying, hey, we may go into the season with four rostered quarterbacks. That's fine. But how is Bryce Petty going to get better taking the fourth team practice reps? Him and Hackenberg will probably be sharing the third team practice reps, which means you may dilute the potential improvement of two guys, not just one in Bryce Petty, but Christian Hackenberg, who some people see as a potential future starting quarterback in the NFL. Not necessarily sure if anyone sees that in Bryce Petty's future, but you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face just to keep two guys on that roster. But if NFL Europe existed again, or if a minor league system existed again, Bryce Petty could be on a team, maybe affiliated with the Jets, maybe not, but he would be in a professional American football, NFL-affiliated setting with coaches who are looking to break into the NFL, officials and referees who work maybe in cahoots with the NFL, cahoots, not the, maybe the wrong term, bad term with the Jim McMahon story, but work in some form of relation with the NFL. You have broadcasters, you have all these people who are involved with the NFL or have aspirations for the NFL. So you would get a quality learning experience and playing experience in the sense that you would be playing with people, around people who either have NFL experience or seek NFL experience in an NFL-controlled, for lack of a better phrase, environment. That would benefit players like him greatly. But as Deadspin alluded to, and they did later in the article, we don't think the NFL, and I don't think the NFL will either, as sad as it is, considers it a profitable enough experience to do that. We've seen a few other leagues try to fill that gap in years past. We saw the United Football League or the UFL a few years ago trying to get off the ground and a few years of success. You know, you saw some former NFL players like J.P. Losman playing for a team in Las Vegas. You saw this different dynamic, trying to put some teams in places where there weren't currently teams, like Orlando, like Las Vegas, which may not be the case now with the Raiders potentially coming. But this has been attempted before, and it was in the off season. You had it go on during the spring. But it didn't click. There wasn't enough attention, maybe not enough financial backing, not enough support, and it died out. The USFL tried to do this against the NFL, and it survived for a few years. Same for the World Football League. They have tried to be an alternative experience. and being that alternative experience and maybe that minor league system, except for the USFL, of course, they've tried to battle head on. It hasn't worked. But you had a time of success with the NFL Europe, NFL Europa, where you had, what, 6 to 8 teams overseas, controlled and affiliated with NFL teams. Not directly. Again, not a minor league feeder system, but teams could sign these players or players would be under contract with a team and could be brought back over. That allowed for some great improvement, and I think it is something the NFL should look at again. The question then becomes, do those teams play in the United States or not? Of course, there are some markets that you would say are untapped, but most of the country has, at least in some form or fashion, affiliation with football teams across the spectrum. The Gridiron Development League, the Indoor Football League, the Arena Football League. Yes, there are competing indoor football leagues. It's very interesting. And the NFL tried that for a while. Again, it wasn't NFL Europe to start. It was the World League of American Football. And the teams that started in it included the Birmingham Fire, Montreal Machine, the New York New Jersey Knights, the Ohio Glory, the Orlando Thunder, the Raleigh-Durham Skyhawks, the Sacramento Surge, and the San Antonio Riders. Most of those teams dropped off after 2 years, and the league was revamped to allow for expansion to the UK in 1995 and in other parts of the Europe, including Germany and Spain. You had, by the time it was done, in 2007, you had the Amsterdam Admirals, the Berlin Thunder, Cologne Centurions, Frankfurt Galaxy, Hamburg Sea Devils, Rain Fire, and the Scottish Claymores. They also at one point had the London Monarchs and the Barcelona Dragons in Spain. So it was a league that was capable of participating in American football in a new place, trying to expand the league into the UK. And of course, we've seen NFL games now played in Wembley Stadium these last few years. That's not a new thing. That happened years ago. Maybe not in Wembley, but it was a place. So again, experimental rules, you can implement changes you want to have, you can allow these players to develop, give yourself some footage, some coverage overseas. There are a multitude of reasons why this would be a good thing for the NFL to bring back. But because there may not be money involved or much money involved, which I would dispute heavily, the NFL is likely not going to look back in that direction for a minor league team. Because again, college football does that for you. Maybe you dilute the product. Do you have to pay for it? No. Are you liable for anything that happens to those players while they're in college? No. You're fine. No worries. No strings attached. Let's go. Just bring them in. We draft them. We're good. We're good. We're fine. Players can sit on a practice squad, play on a scout team. No big deal. No investment. No problems at all if they don't pan out. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it's going to stay. And for those of you who play Madden games like I do, or at least the older ones, Madden 04 and 05, I know for sure, I believe 06 as well, maybe a few on the other sides of those, had the NFL Europe teams. Yeah, they were players you didn't know or hadn't really heard about, but they were players that, you know, you could play with and show that there was football other than in the United States, but it was still affiliated with United States football. Again, look at some of these players that played in NFL Europe. You have John Kitna, played for the Bengals and Lions. Terry Crews, of course, as we know him now, an actor. You had Dante Hall, longtime Kansas City Chief, St. Louis Ram for a little bit, prolific returner. David Akers, longtime kicker in the NFL. Brad Johnson. These are players that played in the NFL after the fact. It has the potential to show and already shown the potential that this league, if given an opportunity, will foster growth in the greatness or the potential greatness of the players you have in your league wasting away on the bench or on a practice squad or in your scout team, however they may be. Again, I'm not saying Bryce Petty's going to turn into Brad Johnson and become a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but there's potential. Something could happen there. So why not bring it back? Money. As we say all the time, cream. Cash rules everything around me, and the NFL is going to continue to do that. Is it a huge mistake? By far. Is it going to continue to happen? Yes, because there's no reason to fix it otherwise. PZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. Cody Sandusky here, glad to be with you on July 30th, 2016. Want to remind you that, as you can at all times, interact. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me at Cody Sandusky. That is CodySandusky. You can also email any thoughts or questions, input you have, at podzilla1985@gmail.com. Again, podzilla1985@gmail.com. Furthermore, you can follow me on Facebook at Cody Sandusky Sports. I share the podcast on there, share some other stories, hopefully fostering a bit of community and a bit of discussion about what happens on this show and in the sports world as a whole. Moving on now to another NFL-centric topic, but in a much different vein, in a much different tone, and with a much wilder personality. Former NFL quarterback Jim McMahon, face, at least partially a face, of the Super Bowl shuffle. Of course, the 1985 Chicago Bears, the championship team, known better for their defense than their offense, but yet the quarterback was still there, the headband-wearing, Pete Rozelle-hating, sunglasses-toting guy, is now a very big fan of marijuana. And he's been talking about it to the media lately. It's not a new thing for Jim McMahon to be a face of controversy or maybe even a thorn in the side of the NFL, but in this case, more than many others, I think he has a great point. Jim McMahon was interviewed by Matty Gray from Sports Illustrated this week, talking about his use and his time using marijuana as a medicinal alternative for pain management. Talking about how he's been using it for years, he thinks it's an effective painkiller, and quote, but it is also safer than the opioids painkillers that have destroyed thousands of American families, end quote. Jim McMahon is very passionate about this. And of course, if you've ever seen Jim McMahon, he's passionate about almost anything he talks about in some form or fashion. He has a fire inside of him and he wants to talk about it. But in this topic, I think he's well supported by other NFL players, both current and former. And the NFL's not going to change anything on it. And that's a terrible mistake by the NFL. This is a very NFL bashing podcast. So should I say bye-bye to my future career at NFL Network? Maybe Rich Eisen gets away with some of it because it deserves to be talked about. It deserves to be discussed and the NFL being admonished for what it is doing in it. We have players like Eugene Monroe, who is a free agent, who has said he's going to retire, but at the time was the only active player to publicly support the use for marijuana, going so far as to say he would fund research and donated money for research to hopefully prove with evidence that medicinal marijuana is an alternative, a safer, healthier alternative to the use of painkillers and opioids. And Jim McMahon backs up that thought process, hoping that something's going to happen. Quote, there's so many uses to this plant. Hundreds of thousands of people are dying from painkillers, and there's not one case of people dying from the hemp plant. You know, end quote on that one. It's, again, Jim McMahon is a hard person to hear saying this because of Jim McMahon's boisterous and maybe sometimes volatile personality. Of course, later in the interview, he talks about, quote, that's BS. They want you taking those pills. I think they're in cahoots with Big Pharma. My whole career, they were feeding us these pills, end quote. It's a bit of a thing to go out and accuse that, quote, for whatever ailment you have, they have a pill for you. And that's the reason they're demonizing this plant the way they are. Because you wouldn't have these problems with these guys with all their head injuries and these kinds of things, the joints. This stuff's so much better for you. There's no side effects. It doesn't kill anybody. There's no documented cases of people dying. There's hundreds of thousands of people dying every year from these pills. All they do is take them off the market. Pharma doesn't get a slap on the wrist, nothing, for killing all these people. Now, end quote on that one. Yeah, you're taking some jabs, maybe with less research than you would like. You would hope to have some numbers with that, although I'm sure they do exist out there. And Jim McMahon, at least for himself, is a big proponent for the use of marijuana, saying that he was so close to committing suicide by taking these painkillers. He quoted in this article or in that video saying that he was eating 8 to 10 Percocet a day and couldn't sleep. He blames pill use for part of his early onset dementia. I'm sure the football has another part of that, but he believes that the medicinal marijuana is helping him. This isn't new to the NFL. The use of marijuana is not new to the NFL in any stretch of the imagination. Players are suspended all the time for different drug uses, marijuana being some of them. Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams suspended for 2 games and 1 game last year, respectively, for being in a vehicle or having marijuana on them driving to the airport. Le'Veon Bell missed a drug test this week. He's probably going to be suspended for the first 4 games of the NFL season. I have a theory that it may or may not have to do with his use of marijuana. Whether it's for recreational use or otherwise, and you would hope for some of these players it is for more of a medicinal purpose like Eugene Monroe is promoting and Jim McMahon is promoting, it's happening. There are players across the NFL using marijuana. Jim McMahon believes that there were people using marijuana when he was a player and said that Mike Ditka kind of just acknowledged it existed and didn't do anything about it. And that was in the mid to late 80s when Ditka was coaching the Chicago Bears. This isn't going anywhere in the case of the NFL. The problem that they're running into, and this isn't, you know, anything groundbreaking if you're from the part of the country that I am from here in Missouri, a lot of the Bible Belt, this Midwest part of the country, is going to fight back tooth and nail on the legalization of marijuana, medicinally or otherwise. Of course, Colorado and Washington State have both let the gates be flooded open for marijuana use. Now, whether you believe in that or not, different story. Not going to get into the politics of it, but not all states have had that friendly a demeanor and friendly a approach toward medicinal marijuana use or marijuana use on the whole. And that's going to devastatingly hinder the NFL's approach to doing anything about this because it's a conservative organization. The NFL doesn't like to ruffle feathers on the political sphere. It's not like we saw Roger Goodell out on a gay pride parade like we saw Adam Silver for the NBA, the commissioner of the NBA. You're not going to see that in the NFL. Not saying you have to see that in the NFL. I'm saying that because of that mindset, because their history of being a more low-key on the political level and the controversial topics level, other than concussions, and part of that being into this marijuana discussion, they're not going to be a groundbreaking organization about this. They're not going to be the ones to say, oh yeah, our players need marijuana to feel better, to survive, to cope with the damaging, debilitating problems they have physically because of this sport. Nah, that's too big. That's way off our plate. That's not our role. Marijuana, no, that's fine. Rodney Harrison, who is on NBC Sports Radio earlier this morning, this July 30th, talked about it. He was asked by his co-host via a question on Twitter, I think, what his thoughts were on medicinal marijuana and did he think it was effective. He acknowledged he doesn't smoke, but he knows guys that do, and so did the co-host. And they both think that there is a purpose for it. There's a benefit for it. And for Rodney Harrison, he came out and said something along the lines of, people don't understand, most like civilians, like us, like myself, not having played football for any extensive period of time in any level of competition, we don't know what it feels like with the aches, the pains, the headaches, the trauma to the joints and the bones, the muscles, all of that. He said those problems and ailments could be alleviated and relieved by use of marijuana in a medicinal way, and also acknowledged that pills are a problem in the NFL. And I don't think it's a big surprise when you hear names like Vicodin, Oxycodone, Hydros, Percocet. Those aren't pills you take on a daily basis for a headache or for joint pain. These are guys that are hitting and maybe some of them abusing, or at least we know some abuse, high level opioids and muscle relaxers, things like that. That cannot be healthy. And Jim McMahon is obviously trying to build this platform that I don't think many people are going to back him on. And unfortunately, Eugene Monroe retiring from the NFL, trying to avoid the problems with CTE and concussions, in what I think is probably a wise decision. And for him, he believes it, so of course you don't want to continue playing the sport if you feel like you're worried about your health. But I don't feel like this platform is going to have a lot of support on a tangible person you have to listen to level. I like Jim McMahon. I'm glad he's taking his stance. Eugene Monroe's a very intelligent guy, it seems, putting his money where his mouth is in terms of funding research for the properties and benefits of medicinal marijuana use for football players. But I don't think there's this champion of the movement, so to speak, that's going to stand out so staunchly as to get the NFL's attention and force the hand of them, Congress, and the other bodies that will need to make moves in order for something to change. I like Jim McMahon, but he's not that guy. Despite how much he wants to ruffle the feathers of pretty much any NFL commissioner or person of authority and leadership, he's not that guy. Eugene Monroe, I like the guy. I like what I've heard from him. He's not an Adrian Peterson. He's not an Antonio Brown. He's not a Tom Brady. These aren't guys that are going to command the respect and the ear of the NFL to make their changes, to make these kinds of changes that could very well benefit the game. So what have we learned today so far? No NFL minor league system because they don't want to put the money into it. No medicinal marijuana use in the NFL to this point because they want more research and they don't want to listen to the guys who want to back its use already. And they also want to work on policing it. Because, of course, they do. Remember the good guy NFL? Because I don't lately. Football providing us a lot of tough stories during the summer and probably the last year here on PZ85 Sports. I'm Cody Sandusky. It's been a lot of fun to talk about the topics and sense of I want to share these thoughts and have some return thoughts from you folks out there listening to the podcast. But some of them have been very painful to talk about, whether it be the sexual assaults, the bodies breaking down, CTE, unfortunate suicides involving players who played in the NFL, or playing football in general, it's always tough to swallow those. And there's hopefully some research coming to rectify some of these things, whether it be making the game safer or allowing players to use this plant or whatever they may have that's hopefully safer than opioids and painkillers to recuperate, to recover and feel better playing their game, maybe extend their careers, or maybe even if it doesn't do that. I'm not saying that's the goal of medicinal marijuana is to extend a career, but to extend the wellness of their lives. Just make them feel healthier, feel more productive, feel like they're in less of a fog every day, or feel like they can get out of bed without crying and falling to the floor. Not saying there's a specific story of NFL players doing that, but I can only imagine the excruciating pain they go through and that kind of experience being maybe common within some NFL circles. But that is the NFL talk for this week's episode. Had a couple more things on the docket that I did want to get to. Well, I should correct myself. As the NFL talk for this week's episode, I do have something I do want to present with the AFL, the Arena Football League. And it was really unique. Again, watching a game this week, working on some things at my day job, I want to catch some football, and I have the ESPN, watch ESPN app via my subscription to PlayStation View, highly recommend it. And I was able to watch Arena Football League, which they stream live on ESPN3. Now, this was a replay game between the Cleveland Gladiators and the Arizona Rattlers. Arizona Rattlers, longtime team in the AFL, very successful this season at the top of the league, if I remember correctly. So the game opens, of course, they do their opening shot at the Walking Stick Resort Arena where the Suns play. You have your pregame, you look at the lineups, here's who's here, here's whatever. You have your first play of the game from scrimmage. After the kickoff and the return, which stopped at the goal line, you have the Cleveland Gladiators do a pitch to a running back. Hit in the backfield, hit in the end zone for a safety. It was ruled a safety on the field. The coach threw the challenge flag or acknowledged he wanted to challenge the call with the official. The official says this play is going to go under official review. Okay, fine. Very common. That's how it works in football, especially now that we have the technology to have instant replays. The part where it got interesting is where I really enjoyed it is how they handled it. The broadcasters, the play-by-play and color guy, acknowledged that this is the most transparent replay and review system in professional sports. The cameraman follows the official over to the official replay booth, the review booth. And it's a little bit different in the Arena Football League. Again, a lower funded league than the NFL, not quite the multi-billion dollar industry the NFL has become, but it's a 42-inch TV or so mounted on a table or a bracket, however it goes. It's a portable station. And he puts the headphones on, of course, where he can communicate with the TV truck from ESPN to get the footage rolled back and stopped and played in the specific places he wants. The difference is you heard all of this, and you also saw, whether it be the television that the official was looking at as they had the wide shot on the officials and the television, or just the replay playing on the screen, full screen, and you hear the official's voice. They let you hear what the official was talking through and what he thought on the play, his train of thought going through, as well as the footage as he saw it. And the stops when he wanted to stop, the slowdown callback, you go to the official play going through again full speed. You got to see every second of that, as well as the official determining, yes, he was turning up field when he had possession of the ball. He was stopped in the end zone. The safety is good. Goes on the field, you know, he acknowledged before he left on the field, he said the play's going to stand because that's the evidence. Goes on the field, says the play stands, officially called a safety. I thought that was a very unique approach that I would like to see in other sports. It's a different take. You don't see that very often. Of course, with Major League Baseball or with any other professional sport that's televised or broadcast, whether it be online or however you view it, but in a visual medium, you see the replays at home. If you're in the stadium, you see the replays on the Jumbotron or the screen if you're anywhere on that level of competition. So fans get to see that perspective, but they don't necessarily get to hear that perspective. We don't get that opportunity very often. And I thought it was a very different take. And again, the Arena Football League and leagues like that, you get to be experimental. NFL Europe could do that. Sidebar, gone anyway. But the AFL, it's a unique fold in their broadcast. And of course, they're probably pitching it as a selling point. Like, hey, come watch our thing. Watch our product. You get to see what happens behind the scenes with the officials. It's a very unique take, and I really liked it. I thought it added an extra dimension to the replay because, of course, you hear the broadcasters give their opinion. Like, oh, yeah, this guy, the foot right here, you know, draw the telestrator, the whole John Madden shtick or the Phil Simms shtick. Yeah, the foot was here, out of bounds, shouldn't be good. Calls played opposite by the official. Of course, Mike Carey, the former NFL official and now rules guru or however you want to call it for CBS Sports, had a few of those snafus himself in different situations during the season. Became a big joke on social media and the like. But you relied on people who were outside the situation who had a different opinion and didn't see the play live on the field as it was. Whether that's good or bad, it was unique to the television broadcast. That's fine. But to be able to see what the actual official on the field is thinking, hear his train of thought as he explained it. I don't know if he had possession here as he crossed the plane to turn around. Let's see that again. Can you roll it back? And you heard all of that. It was a very great insight into what happens in a replay booth. Now, again, mind you, the AFL, it was less secretive. It was kind of out in the corner of one of the end zones because that's the way Arena Football Leagues work. It's a very narrow kind of place to play or a very small field of play, and then kind of they collapse it in from there. But for the AFL to do that, to show that in a broadcast, I thought was a very nice take on what could be done in professional sports or what could be experimented with in professional sports. I would love to hear what an NFL referee goes through and their train of thought on a television broadcast as they try to turn over what is a catch or what isn't a catch. Good heavens, you know I would love to hear that with the whole Dez Bryant or the Megatron situation of the last couple years. Those would be amazing audio clips to hear and to have playing as you're watching it on the field. Another side of the coin, if you're a Dallas Cowboys or a Detroit Lions fan, that could lead to you threatening the life of that official. Probably already happened, but maybe more so as you heard the train of thought and the explanation from his points of view. So maybe that's bad. Maybe that's why they don't do it. But as other leagues include these reviews, as you have the Major League Baseball crews going through instant replays and trying to determine whether a guy is out or safe or a home run or not, or in the NBA, although this one's a little less intriguing to me, hearing whether the officials are determining a play as a flagrant one or a flagrant two, or was it a two-pointer or a three-pointer? There are multiple places here, or even the NHL. Was it a goal or no goal? Now, mind you, that one's maybe sometimes easier to determine from home and with replays with the broadcasters, but I still think it's an opportunity. We don't have to have it every time, maybe. Just sometimes. But I think featuring that kind of content would lead to maybe better officiating, because not only are you scrutinized by your league and by fans and by people who maybe don't have a right to scrutinize you, but it is in public. It can be openly acknowledged. And when a mistake happens, it's not just people conjecturing that, oh yeah, he made a mistake, and write a blog about it Monday on ESPN.com. You can say, here is what he said. Here is what he thought. Does that align with the NFL rulebook? Does it not? Was he sane in making those comments? You have a new level of transparency. And while I understand that umpires and referees may not desire that level of knowledge of them or their voices or things like that, I think it was a unique look. I think it was an exciting look, and I think something that should be spread from the American Football League to other leagues. Not only other leagues of football, but other sports. I thought it was fun. I wanted to share that with you guys because it was enjoyable for me as a fan and as a broadcaster. Because, of course, I've never broadcast anything higher than high school so far in terms of my experience. But that's the fun part of being able to conjecture on the air. Like, oh, yeah, I think this, that, and the other thing happened. And that's fine. But I think even as a broadcaster, I would much prefer to hear the officials call on it and to hear it as it happens so that we can comment off after the fact and say, in this case, hey, I didn't think he had possession as he was turning around to run upfield. Therefore, I don't think it was a safety, but that is why the official made his decision. And that is what is going to be run with during the game. I just thought it was very fun, and I was really excited to have that be a part of that broadcast. I know I said I was going to talk about the Big 12 expansion and what teams were coming into the Big 12 or potentially coming into the Big 12, but I think we're going to save that for another week's broadcast. We might save that for next week's broadcast because, of course, as I said at the beginning, we're 5 weeks away from the first full Saturday of college football. And as we get closer to that, I want to have some content to hype with. And this is something I think that we can share in more than just these last 23 minutes of the podcast. Or I think it'd be great for the last 23 minutes of the podcast, but full disclosure to those of you listening, my throat is tired, guys. It's been a hard week in terms of my throat just kind of wanting to be taken out, cleaned out with an air compressor, and just put back in. If I could do that, I would. Unfortunately, that's not how the human body works outside of Mortal Kombat, and I don't wish to do that because you can't put it back in. Anyway, we are saving the Big 12 expansion content, that big discussion, for next week or sometime as we get closer to college football. Hoping to have a couple people in here in the next few weeks to start hyping college football, previewing the season, and some of these changes that are coming to the NCAA's offerings for college football. But this is going to be all for PZ85 Sports. I am Cody Sandusky. I want to thank you for listening this week, this July 30th, 2016 episode. Give you the rundown as we always do. You can find me on Twitter at Cody Sandusky, CodySandusky. You can find me on Facebook at Cody Sandusky Sports. Just search at Cody Sandusky Sports, like the page. You'll see these podcasts go up as well as some other stories and content, maybe mini commentaries as we build that page and foster some communication, some insight, some thoughts from the community, and maybe build up the listener base of what you guys have in terms of a role of participating in PZ85 Sports. Support the podcast of PZ85 on Patreon.com. Search Podzilla1985. Got to back all these great content-driven podcasts we give you. We have PWU on Wednesdays, Nerd Up on Sundays/Mondays, Mr. 100 and a Five-Star Man, the newly topical Thursdays, although Tanner made his triumphant return to make it topical Tanner Thursday. A lot of fun this week on all of those shows. Of course, we have Jesse coming up tomorrow for Nerd Up, talking about the developments and the rumors from Eurogamer about the Nintendo NX. What does it mean? Is it good? Is it bad? In that illustrious PZ85 chat, in case you've heard about it, that is something we have on Facebook between the members of Podzilla 1985. There was a good debate between he and I, and I'm excited to hear his long-form audio comments on it. So tune in to Nerd Up tomorrow. Should be a good time as we go through the rest of the week's podcast. And back us, please. Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. Allow us to bring you this content, improve the quality of this audio, and improve the places where we get to record the show if we can. We thank you so much for that. Redbubble.com, search Podzilla1985. Lindsay always on top of things with the art and the stuff that we sell on that store. There's the PZ85 baseball shirt, the Tanner Thursday shirt. PZ85 logos abound on there, on coffee mugs, on notebooks, on t-shirts of many varieties. Check it out. It's always a lot of fun. Want to say thank you for tuning into this episode of PZ85 Sports. I am Cody Sandusky, trying to stay safe because it's hot outside. Oh, by the way, the Olympics are coming. We talked about it again last week. Don't worry. We're going to get to it. It's going to be fun. So stay safe. Don't swim in polluted waters. Try to build a minor league team if you can. See if you can get the NFL's attention. And we'll talk to you guys soon. See you later.